After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording this on a Tuesday night after the Sacramento Kings showed up in a big way on the home floor. They got a big lead. Hold on. They held a big lead. In fact, it was a wire-to-wire win for the Sacramento Kings against Giannis, Dame, and the Bucks, who have been playing some much better basketball, winners of 7 of 9. The Kings held them to under 100 points tonight, beating them 129-94. Some history was made in the game from Sabonis and Monk, and the Kings did it without Keegan Murray. This podcast is presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Check out TrustNorthwest.com. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. Morgan, how you doing?
So good. So good. I feel so good. I, you know, could try and tell you, oh, I don't want the Kings season to dictate my mood. It does.
Let's be honest. Dictates all of our moods.
And there's just like no stopping it. Like, I'm addicted. Yeah. Sure. Is it healthy? I say sure. Like, I'm very passionate about it. I enjoy it. I love basketball so much. And I love the team that I cover. The Sacramento Kings, when they are in or on and they are playing good basketball, there's nothing like that high. There is nothing like it. Nothing like it. Love it.
They don't have many complete games this year.
Nope.
This might be one of them with how they played. They got the lead, held on to it, expanded it. The Bucks made a brief run, cutting it to 14. You went, oh no, here we go again. In fact, going into the fourth quarter, the Kings are up. Even when they went up like 29, I think at one point. Let's see, what was the? Oh my God, their biggest lead was 37 in this game, which is crazy. It was still like 28-ish, 29, and you're just like, no one in the building felt comfortable.
Why do you think Mike Brown left everyone in until the 4-minute mark? Yeah. Like, literally, I had someone with NBC at the desk say to me, like, oh, when is Mike Brown going to pull his guys? I go, are you serious? It's still a game. And he's like, are you serious? And I go, no, this isn't just what I do. This is what the Kings do. I do not trust them holding a lead after track record has shown that they haven't been able to do that. And tonight, they proved us all wrong. Great job.
Where does Morgan Reagan want to start on her wheel of fun topics in this game?
Should we start with an individual? Should we start with the team defense? Should we start with let's start with the team defense. Yes, because I think there's a lot of different things here. You can go into individual play, but I think even if you look at something at like the third quarter, for example, when the Kings weren't scoring as many points, they only scored 20 points in that third quarter, but they were playing some very good, strong defense on the Bucks.
That's it. We've seen quarters where the Kings struggle. If the Kings score 20 in some quarters, it's because they totally fall apart offensively.
Correct.
Miss everything, and it impacts what they do on the other end. And all of a sudden, they get outscored 35-20. But in the third quarter, they got outscored 22-20. They competed in this game tonight. It happened from the start. Keon Ellis started this game in place of Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
I was excited about the start, the first play of the game.
First play of the game.
De'Aaron Fox gets a block, gets a block, defense, and then their defense leads to offense, just like you mentioned, Keon Ellis getting the start, Keon Ellis running the floor down the right side. What does De'Aaron do? He finds Keon. Three, transition three right away. But it all started with literally the first play being a big defensive play.
Yeah, and in this game, they started Keon Ellis, and he got the matchup against Dame Lillard tonight and did a hell of a job. You know, Dame, of course, is a talented player. We've seen the scoring ability. We've seen it recently. We saw him beat the Kings at the buzzer in Milwaukee in that overtime game. He's crushed the Kings many times. He scored 50-plus points, I believe, at Golden 1 Center before. We've seen, we know the resume.
Barf.
Keon Ellis got the opportunity to get in there and start, and was he making him work? He was all over Damian Lillard, and Dame tonight finished very quiet. 10 points, 6 assists, 2 of 12 shooting, 1 of 6 from 3 in this game. Keon Ellis has got to keep playing. I know Keegan missed this game tonight with that sprained ankle he suffered after Dylan Brooks stepped on his foot in that Rockets game. Keon Ellis has to find minutes with this team. He is too good defensively, and the guy knocks down threes. So if you've got decent size, you play with physicality, you have active hands, you've got decent size, and you could shoot the three, you're playing, especially on this team.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. If you can produce on both ends of the floor, you're not a liability on either end of the floor. You're going to find opportunities. You're going to find time. But also because I believe that Mike Brown's system does a pretty good job of plug and play people if they're capable of not being a liability on either end, right? And like Keon Ellis has proven with these opportunities, short leash, in some of these games as well, if he's not doing what he needs to be doing in his role, but he is showing in the small minutes that he is receiving at times tonight, 27 minutes in this one, how and why he deserves to be out there on the floor.
He was outstanding. 7 points for him, but he had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 3 of 4 shooting, knocked down that three that Morgan mentioned at the start of the game. I thought he and Fox set the tone, and that backcourt together is just fun.
You text me that. What made them so fun?
The on-ball pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be honest, I feel like I know Fox is capable of doing it. We've seen him do it this year. He's a good defender. I think he kind of feeds off Keon a little bit.
Ooh.
And they both have speed. So when they get a stop, I mean, they get out and go. So I just thought those two together, those lineups, they've been throwing out some of those three-guard lineups. I know it's not going to work against every team, but man, in stretches when you see Davion Mitchell with De'Aaron Fox and Keon Ellis,
mm-hmm.
that's some pressure.
Oh, yeah.
And the way Davion's been shooting the ball in 2024,
yep.
shooting at like a 43% clip from three and 44% on catch and shoot threes, you add in what Keon's been able to do and then De'Aaron's explosiveness, and they bring it defensively. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
And I think sometimes, you know, for some, if you look at certain matchups and you go, okay, what about the size advantage some of these other teams might have in certain matchups? It's understandable. But at the same time, these guys do a great job of digging, being active with their hands, and really just disrupting games, getting up in people, and still being able to move laterally and do all the other little things, hustle for loose balls, dive on the floor, all of it.
And if Keon's going to get more minutes, someone else's minutes are going to have to dip. And I think it's probably going to be Herter at this point. Keon played more minutes than Kevin Herter in this one, 27-25 for Herter. It was good to see Herter knock down some threes. I felt like his threes helped the Kings. There are still moments defensively that he was going to get targeted. But this whole like notion, oh, you just don't play Kevin Herter now.
No.
Here's the thing. Like you could still, Kevin Herter still needs to play. I mean, his offense is shooting. It can really help the Sacramento Kings. You just have to put him in favorable positions, right? And you hope that he's not going to be targeted left and right. He could still help this team in a big, big way. I just think Keon needs to play more, especially with how he's playing. And here's another stat.
What's another stat?
They're 5-0 when he starts.
Hey!
They're 5-0 when Keon Ellis starts games this year.
Well, that's interesting to look at because I was just about to go, yeah, you know, I really do believe that Kevin Herter should still be starting, but maybe it ends up being, again, depending on matchup or how he's coming out and playing tonight, he came out strong, knocking down those threes early. And then you saw the times that he was targeted or was the weakest link on the defensive end. It's like he was getting pulled. It's not that he was getting punished. It was, okay, we need to make sure that there is something to patch up this problem. And they would find an answer with the way that they were rotating guys. And so I just think we're going to get to a place that maybe where it's like Kevin Huerter and even Harrison Barnes at times where you're just seeing that shorter leash. But when they come out hot like this, this is why this is they've been in the league for a little bit. And this is why you go, okay, you start these guys and then you start reeling back. I mean, that's, I don't know. I feel like we see a lot of teams around the NBA do that.
HB and Huerter got up to really strong starts in this game. And it was crazy because Sacramento made 6 threes the whole game against the Houston Rockets. They couldn't make shit in that game, right?
So gross.
6 threes. They matched that early in this game in the first quarter. In fact, at the end of the first quarter, Sacramento was 8 of 11 from downtown. They had 12 assists on 15 makes. Mike Brown talks a lot about spray threes. You hear it a lot. You're like, God, why do you mention that so much? He just has a great belief that, you know, attacking the paint, spraying out to an open shooter, and sometimes that person making an extra pass, it could just lead to good things, and you're going to get good shots when the defense collapsed to maybe help on De'Aaron Fox or Malik Monk. And if you spray, guys are going to get good looks. He was noting before the game and yesterday at practice too that the last few games, Sacramento spray three numbers have dipped. And he said they only got like 11 against the Rockets. Tonight, they were 10 of 20 on spray threes, according to Mike Brown after the game. Whoa. Sacramento as a team shot overall 18 of 40 from beyond the arc. So, you know, the shots were falling tonight for the Sacramento Kings, but it's about how they're getting them. Some nights you're going to miss them. But if you're going through the process the right way, attacking the defense, making them work and rotate, that could lead to good things. And you trust that with the shooting on this team, it's going to end up being a good night for you. And tonight, it was a really good night for the Kings in that regard.
Look, their shots were falling, right? I mean, that, you're going to have those nights where you go, okay, well, so glad a lot of those were falling. But you're exactly right. A lot of those were falling because of the right reason. Because what was being done on the offensive end, they weren't taking the first shot, they were taking the best shot. Whether that was one extra dribble or one extra pass, swinging it around, attacking the paint one more time, remaining aggressive, getting into the paint. Even you look at points in the paint, they ended up with 54 points in the paint compared to the Bucks, 42 points in the paint. And they have Giannis Antetokounmpo,
that,
you know?
Dude. Yes.
Thank you. Yes. It's like you truly, and that goes a lot to their defensive side of thing too, but really looking at the Kings offense and like what you're saying, it's just a lot of good things were flowing for them on the offensive end. It wasn't just shot making. It was, like you said, how they were getting those shots.
It was also because the defense, the ball pressure, deflections. They had 11 steals tonight, and I felt like the pace was really good for Sacramento. They got into their stuff. They were aggressive defensively. They're getting called for a lot of fouls, too, and that's been a challenge for this team, although some of these calls tonight, just bizarre, but who cares?
I felt like, for the most part, I loved the way that the officials were letting both teams play, and then some I'm like...
Yeah. Giannis shot 14 free throws tonight. The Kings as a team shot 16. And I thought Monk got fouled a lot without calls. I thought Fox, too. They got some later in the game, but early on they didn't get a lot. I just loved how they played defensively, and I love how they were attacked. They played with physicality tonight. Major so we mentioned what Keon Ellis was able to do, and I think he's showing, like, this guy can be an impactful player for you late in the year. Someone that had some stretches early, but then was out of the rotation. He's ready to go, and he's proving that he could be a winning player for you. It's not only winning the games, being 5-0 when he's a starter. It's him just impacting things when he gets in the game. It feels like the Kings are a better team when Keon Ellis is on the floor. And that's a huge credit to him for staying ready and being not pouting on the bench because he's not getting playing time. He's like, I'm going to go in there, be a pro, and do my thing.
And understand his role. And when you have certain players on a roster truly understand their role, whether they're a hype man, whether they're a rotational player, whether they're a player that will be seeing some DMPs but get in there when they can. It's incredible what type of culture that can create, but what type of style of play it can create. Because then everybody starts trusting one another. That goes from the coaching staff down, right? It just bleeds on down to going, okay, well, I believe that they will believe in me in the right situations. And sometimes you're always just going to believe in yourself and understand that, or think that you can get anything done out there, like you want to be out there. You want those minutes. But at the same time, it just really depends if you're going to get those minutes and when in those small minutes, what you do in that small opportunity. I think for Keon Ellis and not so much Davion tonight necessarily, but Davion in this month, truly what he's been doing in his small minutes has been making an impact. It's in a lot of players, they need more time to make an impact.
The other guy who's been impactful all year, and I just loved his approach tonight, was Malik Monk. Malik plays 28 minutes in this one, 25 points again for him, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. I thought he was really active defensively too. But more than that, he didn't give a shit that Brooke Lopez was in the paint.
No.
And Lopez did get him once tonight. Mm-hmm. Once. But Malik went to the rim with authority. He didn't play scared. He wasn't adjusting his shot. He was going strong to the basket. I think there have been times we've seen the Kings, when there is a rim protector in the middle, it makes you think twice.
Or try to draw the foul or try to
No.
Make the shot.
Monk
first.
Said, I'm going after mm-hmm. this guy. And he got him a couple of times. The Kings got Lopez a couple of times. Sabonis jammed on his head twice tonight.
Twice.
So Monk has been this way all year long with that spark and the energy he mm-hmm. provides his team. He also made Kings history tonight. At 3:56 mark of the first quarter, he got his first dime of the night and then was able to pass Bobby Jackson for the most assists by a reserve in franchise history. 630 assists for Malik Monk in 140 games. Bobby Jackson, our old buddy, 629 assists in 314 games. Is that what Willsie had? Anyway, Monk did it in 140 games.
Yeah.
You want to hear some Malik Monk with G-Man?
Yeah, you were telling me about it.
Here's Malik Monk after the game with the G-Man, Gary Gerald.
How satisfying is this win?
Oh, yeah, it's great, man, especially when we let our guard down against Houston to come in and be the top team in the East, man. It's great, especially with all the great guys they got over there, with them being in the finals, winning the finals. It's great to get this win like this.
This is the 23rd time this season that you've scored 20 or more coming off the bench. Do you think about numbers like that?
No, sir. I don't think about it until you tell me about it. I just go out there and play basketball. And just try to play as hard as I can every time I get out there.
What was the difference in this game? You were able to get the separation, but unlike so many other times when big leads have turned into no lead,
yep, for sure.
What was the difference today?
We kept our we didn't let our guard down, G-Man. We didn't hold off. We kept the pressure up the whole game. We usually relax a little bit in the third quarter, and we didn't do that this time. And I think that was the biggest key.
Let me ask you about the contributions from Keon Ellis, particularly defensively
against
Damian Lillard.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Man, Keon, I think I've been saying this before. Keon, every time he comes in the game, man, he steps up big, whether it's hitting shots, guarding, making the right plays. And that's just him being ready and him being a professional.
And he just made a big play right there as he just
lit the beam. He lit the beam. Light the beam, baby.
How much gas in the tank for a possible sweep against the Lakers tomorrow night?
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of gas in the tank. So I hope my teammates follow behind me. I'm going to make sure they behind me, though.
Let's play, too. Thanks,
yes, sir.
Malik.
Yes, sir.
All right.
There's Malik Monk with the G-Man after the game. Also, in his post-game conversation with the media, he was just saying how much he loves that Mike Brown has just trusted him with the ball and that it's because he's getting these opportunities. He's showing what he can do in the NBA.
Yeah, I think Mike Brown has evolved with trusting Malik Monk with the basketball because Malik Monk has been so much more disciplined when he has the basketball in his hands, meaning he's not just relying on that pocket pass and seeing turnovers. He is not being chaotic with the basketball. He is not holding on to the basketball. He's making a quick decision. And on top of everything, I'm sure it's his aggressive nature to the basket, because when he goes to the basket, great things happen. He either makes a play at the rim or makes a play for somebody else on his team.
Just a fantastic year for him. And that's why he is the front runner to win Sixth Man of the Year. I just love what he brings in his mindset. You know, he plays with a tremendous amount of confidence, no shit, but it's just like he's not, I think he gets fired up by these moments, you know? I think, like, there's certain things that bug him. Like, the you know, a couple games ago, he was irritated with the fans booing him. And, you know, I know some fans are like, oh, come on, I pay money, I can boo. I hear both sides. Yeah. I understand it. But it's not that he doesn't respect the fans. He's just like, oh, I want the positive energy. I'm going to go out there and do my thing. That, sure. That's going to fuel me. Whatever fuels him, I don't give a shit. The guy just brings it, and he's essential to what they do.
You know, some of the numbers that you sent me before tonight's game – when it came to the Bucks, and it was Doc Rivers, since Doc Rivers had basically taken over. So before, they were 19th in defensive rating. Then Doc Rivers came in, and they became 11th in defensive rating. And then since the break, Milwaukee's been 7th in defensive rating. So
and 7th in offense.
And 7th in offense as well. And I say that because I think about someone like Malik Monk and the way that he's attacking. This team has been to together. And I go, okay, they might not be able to stop De'Aaron Fox, one of the fastest players in this league, but the fact that they couldn't slow down Malik Monk either tonight, it just shows what a force that this Kings team, like multiple people can be. How many people scored in double figures tonight on this Kings squad as well? 5, I believe.
Yep.
It just, yeah, it's just really nice to see them go up against a good defensive team like this.
Sabonis made history tonight, too, and it shouldn't be really a surprise. He extended his double-double streak to 47 consecutive games. He has now passed Jerry Lucas for the longest single-season double-double streak in franchise history. No insane.
No big deal.
And that was another guy who played tough tonight. 22 points for him, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 10 of 14 shooting. He embraced the physicality. I mean, number one, going strong to the rim on Brook Lopez, not giving a shit. And by the way, Sabonis got dunked on too by Giannis.
Yeah.
But he was going with force to the basket. And even down in the post, I saw he shouldered Lopez out of the way. Lopez is a big dude. He is strong, shoulders him out of the way, dunked it in.
It just gives, you have to give so much love to what work Sabonis has put into his body, understanding that he's an undersized center out there at times and can be one of the smaller guys, doesn't have even the longest wingspan. So what can he do? Well, he can work on himself and become strong as shit. And that's what he has truly been able to do this season. You see the way that he bodies through guys. I think he's done a good job too. Like, you know, you think about some of the greatest shooters in this league, for example, Steph Curry, and he'll use that arm bar to create space, which I go, they're not going to call it. Do you create that space? Do what you got to do. It's not even on every three, obviously. But I think about the way that Sabonis uses his elbow to hook around and yeah, create that extra space. Sure. And basically, it's like getting this drop step on certain guys to make sure that you have the right position. And he does a good job of being sly with it. Now, he's gone and called a few times, but I just love the way that he's been able to be like, okay, this is how I'm going to make sure I'm dominating down low.
Yeah. He was awesome again tonight. Just a good bounce back for him. A note too, you know, he had 9 turnovers against the Rockets, and they were some bad turnovers, some hideous ones.
Awful.
0 turnovers for him tonight.
Ugh.
The Kings as a team had 9 turnovers.
Okay, now.
34 assists, 9 turnovers. They shot 53%, 45% from 3. And look, if you believe in this stuff, knock on wood.
I do.
They've been shooting free throws better lately.
I know.
They have been. They were 13 of 16 tonight, 81% for a team that has been dead last in free throw percentage the entire year after being 79% last year. For most of the year, they've been right around 72. They've been terrible. Tonight, they were 13 of 16. Monk missed one. Lyles missed one. And Len missed one. Fox was 3 of 3. Sabonis, 2 of 2. They don't get there a lot, but it was good to see them starting to string that together a little bit.
Well, especially because if you look at this, the last time these two teams matched up, that was a huge thing at the end of that game. Missed free throws. Just a key reason why they ended up losing that game besides Dame Lillard hitting that nightmare dagger.
Yeah, they only missed 5 free throws in that loss, but 3 were in that overtime, right? Where that really hurt them, and we know what happened. Either way, they did a good job tonight. We should talk more about the defense because the Bucks, Morgan, shot 36% this game. The Bucks were held to 94 points. They were 7 of 39 from 3 in this game. What was it for Sacramento, especially when you got to deal with Giannis? He still got his thing. He had 30 points.
And let's mention this one more time. No Keegan Murray, one of your best defenders.
That's a great point.
That it has been playing so fantastic on that end of the floor, even when he's not shooting well, and he was not in this game. So what do the Kings do? They made sure that they just came together and locked up. It was funny because Keon Ellis, I think I said this to you before the podcast, was mic'd up. And on NBC, they had us go to it. And I was like, okay, I haven't heard this. You know, let's hear it. Keon Ellis mic'd up. And it's just help, 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 help. Communication, it's just all communication on the defensive end, right? Like, there's nothing even fun about it. I made a joke about it after. But it was all the fundamental things that you'd want to hear. And I think what the Kings have been able to do a good job of, especially when they know that, like, they need to find a way to get a win. They're playing up against a better team. They knew against a team like this, they need to lock in, communicate, and just trust one another. And you saw the way that they were rotating from side to side when the ball kept moving, the way that they're closing out on guys. Yeah. And I just thought it was aggressive. It was like they understood personnel. What did even Beasley ended up 3 of 11 from 3-point land.
And he's a great 3-point shooter. Yes. He's a fantastic. He, in all fairness, he also missed some great looks tonight.
That he did.
But part of it, too, early on was the Kings' defensive pressure, the on-ball pressure that Davion Fox and Ellis were putting on, staying in front of their guys. I actually noted one awesome play, one of my favorite plays in the first quarter. The Kings threw a double at Giannis. Monk came over.
Okay.
Giannis swings it over to the three-point shooter. Keon Ellis rotates exactly like he was supposed to do, okay? Mike Brown's been preaching about closeouts for a while, right? It seems so simple. You got to close out the right way. This team has struggled with it mightily. And one thing he's talked about is when you're contesting, he wants his guys to like high five the shooter.
The hot shooters especially. Yes.
So tonight, I believe it was Beasley was open for three on the wing. A great closeout by Keon Ellis. And I noted it. He high-fived Beasley. I'm like,
yeah!
These are the little things that make such a big difference, especially for a Kings team that's been allowing everybody to come in and shoot over 40% from three. Those numbers can't happen. Another thing I loved about tonight, Morgan, and the defense, why it's significant, because they've been dog shit defensively at home this year. Into this game tonight, the Kings ranked 29th in defensive rating at home. 29 out of 30. On the road, they've been hovering right around 10 to 13 in defense rating on the road. So you've seen stretches where they're capable of it. You see when they're locked in, they haven't done it at home. And with all these home games coming up and some of these disappointing losses you've had at home to the Bulls and Rockets recently, even going back to the Pistons game, going back to the Hornets game, that can't happen. The defensive focus has to be there. This team's never going to be a lockdown defensive team with the personnel that they have. But I could tell you this, if they play with the engagement that they had tonight, they may not hold every team to 94 points, but I could tell you it's going to lead to them scoring 120 plus because they're getting stops, they're getting out in transition and pushing that.
I mean, why else would they have such a good road defensive rating, right? Like, they're capable of playing defense. They're capable. And tonight you saw it on the home floor. And this is what the home crowd deserves. And going back to what you were even saying about some of the closeouts, you know, Mike Brown had a practice one time. Remember when he was breaking down closeouts for like 5 minutes? I think it was even on you that he was like knocking into you at practice and talking of course not. It was just like the fundamentals of like who you chop your feet against and who you make sure you're clapping hands and who you're running out and making sure you're touching their hip. And it felt like they really seemed to understand that a little bit more tonight or something. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just they were a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more locked in, but it was there. The fundamental things on the defensive end were happening tonight from the Sacramento Kings, whether it was moving laterally on their closeouts, talking it up. Loved what we saw.
Some great closeouts and Bucks missed some shots too, and that's going to happen in the NBA. But the effort Sacramento was putting on, the pressure that they were putting on the Bucks was essential for them winning. Both things can be true. You can acknowledge like, hey man, the Bucks missed some good looks tonight. I actually know it at the start of the third quarter that, you know, to me, that third quarter was going to be crucial. How are the Kings going to respond if they struggled? You know, no one's comfortable at the half when the Kings were, you know, played well in the first half. At the half, they were up 75 to 56, so you're up 19. you're wondering, all right, how are the Kings going to look? Well, the Kings missed shots, right? First two threes that Trey Lyles got in the corners, opposite corners, were wide open, butt naked threes that he missed.
Butt naked.
And that's just a great example. Hey, you're going to miss sometimes. And the Bucks definitely had some of that tonight, too, where they missed some good looks.
Yeah, and I felt like the Kings, although it didn't seem like there was many, but they didn't allow missed shots to ever deflate them or get them down. And or even dunks or made threes by the Bucks. You know, it was those little things that you saw the Kings and their mentality and their body language just stay up throughout this entire thing. And I'm sure a lot of it too, Deuce, if you look at the assist number for the Sacramento Kings, 34 assists on 49 made shots.
It's great.
Field goals. And you look at that and you think about how passing to one another, sharing the basketball, can really help with the morale of a team, right? Everyone is getting rewarded. You're working your ass off on the defensive end, so what's happening on the offensive end? Oh, it's not just hero ball. It's not just iso ball. It's not chuck up the first shot. It's everyone's moving and touching the basketball. When you're playing that fun style, and we saw that consistently last season, it just becomes something different for the entire team and the morale, the spirit.
So we talked about we talked about Sabonis, obviously Keon Monk, Herter and HB had some strong moments offensively tonight. Harrison had 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Herter had 11 and 5 rebounds. He also had 2 steals in the game tonight. De'Aaron with, I thought, was a really strong game after he was missing everything short last game. Even some of the good looks he had in the mid-range that you like him taking, everything was short. Why? I don't know. Maybe it was one of those games. But tonight, 29 points. He had 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 steals. He did on 11 of 17 shooting. He was 4 of 5 from 3. So last game, he took 9 three-point attempts. Tonight, 4 of 5 from 3. What jumped out to you about De'Aaron's game? We already talked about what he did defensively.
Yeah, I think just the way that he was being aggressive. And when I say that, you think about what he was doing on the defensive end. I helped continue that aggressive nature for him in the way that he was attacking, in the way that he was pushing. He was vibing off some of his dunks. He was vibing on the way that he was getting to the paint, getting to his spot in the mid-range, whatever he needed to do. And he was efficient with it. It didn't feel like he was forcing everything. Like, he finished with 7 assists, you know? So he was also making sure to make the right move, to make someone else better, while also going, I need to be the aggressor in a game like this and make sure that I am here for my team, getting up enough shots.
And here's what De'Aaron had to say after the win with Mike Bibby and our very own Morgan Reagan, everybody.
Big win tonight. What is it going to take in these last 18 games to make a push for that playoff push?
Continue to be consistent. I think, we scored 130 points, but if we didn't shoot the ball the way that we did and we hold a team to 94 points, you give yourselves a great chance to win. So if we can be as consistent as possible defensively, I think we'll put ourselves in a great position.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, especially since the All-Star break, they've been top 5 in offensive rating since the break.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense has fallen off. Not that they were some great defensive team before, but since the break, they're in the bottom half of the NBA, you know, bottom 4 in the NBA. So hopefully tonight's like a good step forward for this group, but, we have to see it too.
Step forward.
We have to see it. But yeah. I thought De'Aaron, I just like De'Aaron's balance tonight.
Cool.
Like,
yeah.
You took some threes.
Yes.
You attacked. You got the mid-range.
That was the other thing.
Like,
it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if he had missed the threes that he had taken, like, you look, he took five. And if he was missing, but then said, okay, I'm going to make sure I'm changing it up and attacking. I just felt like he was ready to attack. He didn't care who was in the middle, just like Malik Monk. It's like nobody cared who was in the middle. And that no fear mentality has got to always be there, because at times it feels like no one can stop them in this league, but especially these guards on the Milwaukee Bucks, they were struggling. No Chris Middleton, if you want to say they were shorthanded.
Sure. They were. Chris Middleton did not play in this game. Yeah, but Dame and Malik Beasley can't guard. They can't, especially two explosive guards like Fox and Monk. So,
fair enough.
One thing we have failed to mention.
What?
This is the first time the Kings have beaten the Bucks since 2016. Coming into tonight, they had lost 15 consecutive games. Their last win came at Sleep Train Arena in a game DeMarcus Cousins did not play. Oh, Rudy Gay led the charge. Giannis was just 21 years old at the time. So De'Aaron Fox got his first career win against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Congratulations.
Isn't that insane? The first time the Kings have beaten the Bucks at Golden 1 Center.
I mean, it's pretty insane.
There were 8-year-olds who had never seen the Kings beat the Bucks.
Wow. And they were probably like, Mommy, are we ever going to see the Kings beat the Bucks? One day, kid. One day.
Great reenactment.
Thank you. Mommy, I didn't have a good kid's voice.
You don't have a good kid's voice.
Mommy. Like, why is
he mom? Hey, Mom. Hey, Mom.
Oh, this is like
creepy. It's me, Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy, what the shit you need?
Shut up, kid. Daddy Deuce keeps saying that the Kings need to clap the Bucks. When are the Kings going to clap that ass? Mom.
Such a creepy. Like, you remind
you
me
started
of like,
it.
You remind me of like Chucky. You're just creepy, kid. Creepy. Just like,
man.
Mommy, Mom.
Mommy.
Ew.
The Kings are 37-27 with the loss. The Bucks, who are number 2 in the East, by the way, coming into tonight, 42-24. Shout out to everyone watching us live right now. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Appreciate you guys being here. Shout out to, we got a Cavs fan in the building. Cavs fan says, thank you for the win. Also, love watching both of y'all doing the post-game chat. Great company every night. Dude.
Oh, my gosh.
Shout out Cleveland.
Thank you.
I was watching you guys yesterday. I was like, can you beat the Suns?
Oh, my God.
You guys were shorthanded. Man, there's just so many times.
I know. There's too many times that, like, I find us just rooting.
You know, I was thinking the whole time watching that game, I'm like, hey, put Sam Merrill back in the game. Let's rain some threes.
Give him the ball. Let him shoot.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's really cool, though, when other NBA fans join in. So, thank you.
Daniel says, I need more Daddy Deuce in my life.
No.
I love Golden Blue says, any news on Sasha Vezenkov? Yeah, we should mention a couple of things tonight. So, yeah. Keegan Murray did not play with a sprained ankle. He was at shoot-around today getting some work in. So, I imagine he'll be questionable for the Kings-Lakers game. That's tomorrow on the second night of a back-to-back. And the tough news, we don't know what's going on, but Trey Lyles left the game in the second quarter with an apparent knee injury. He did not return, went to the locker room right away. Looked like his knee buckled a little bit, so hopefully it's nothing serious.
Yeah.
So Trey Lyles is out. Sasha, he was supposed to be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks. I think we're right around the 4 to 5 week mark with that.
Okay.
He hasn't been reevaluated quite yet. I actually saw him after the game talking to Giannis a little bit in the tunnel.
Look at that.
But yeah, hopefully he can get back soon. And, you know, I think best case scenario, it's like, is he back the first week of April? And then you go, okay, it's not only, that's the other thing. He's reevaluated 4 to 6 weeks. Then it comes to, is he cleared? Then he's going to get back on the practice floor, get into game shape. All of a sudden we may be at the end of the season. Is he playing in the playoffs? Those are all big questions, right? So
It's
unfortunate because he was right before the injury. I thought he was playing the best basketball of his, you know, early NBA career. Like he was in the rotation.
He finally had a little bit more of that NBA pace figured out. And not to say that he could keep up, but he understood what he needed to do with his speed, with his pace, and understood what Mike Brown wanted on the defensive end with just like, hey, arms up, be the smart defender that you are, even though you're not the best individual defender. And if you can score and shoot the shit out of the ball on the offensive end, we'll take it. And he was moving without the basketball too.
A couple other highlights from this game tonight. JaVale McGee hitting a three.
Love to see it.
Also worth acknowledging this. Jalen Slauson played tonight late in the game. Jalen Slauson played a game this morning in Ontario, California. He scored 20 points for the Stockton Kings in the G League in a Stockton Kings win. By the way, Stockton with the number 1 record in the Western Conference in the G League. But Jalen Slauson played in a game this morning and played in a game tonight, late in the game. That's actually kind of cool, right?
It is. Are you kidding me?
Two games one day, one the G, one the NBA?
That is like, that would be, if I was a player and I was obviously at that level of like, okay, I'm working my ass off in the G and getting these opportunities with the big squad, that would be my goal. I know the closest thing before that we saw was Mason Jones in that night that they were in Minnesota. They flew in, got in at like 1:30 a.m.
Played G League game the next day.
We're
talking about the same day.
Well, technically, but yeah.
No, we're talking about the same day.
Okay.
So that I thought that was a pretty cool
Very
moment.
Very cool.
And then Andre Jackson tonight of the Bucks. It's not often that you see an arena explode, by the way. He's on the road because of a dunk that happened. Not only did he explode, but for those who did not see it, the crowd exploded. The Kings bench kind of jumped up. Our guy Worldwide Wob put out the Kings bench reaction. I'm going to just play this, make sure it's muted. Put this out on social. And for those who missed it, Andre Jackson late in this game flew out of nowhere with a putback jam. His head, Morgan, was above the rim, and there was such force. His forehead hit the rim. Here's what it looked like, Morgan. This is insane. So just out of nowhere, boom! Kevin Huerter jumped up.
I think it was...
Kevin Huerter jumped up.
It was his cheekbone. It wasn't even his... Like, think about that's how high he jumped. It was his cheekbone that hit the rim.
It was his cheekbone! The guy almost hit his throat on the rim.
Dude, the reaction is so great.
So De'Aaron after the game was saying they were giving Kevin Huerter shit because Kevin Huerter like jumped up like he was going to celebrate. And I guess Huerter was explaining that it's because...
He was shocked?
No. Well, duh.
Okay.
But Andre Jackson's also from upstate New York. They're both upstate New York guys. But the funniest thing is if you look on the second go-around of this, Keegan Murray, no expression. Zero expression. Keegan doesn't move. He doesn't flinch.
Hey, to be fair, neither does Sabonis. Neither does Sabonis.
Dude, that is one of the most insane putbacks. He hit his cheek.
I mean, he can get up.
I don't feel like you're giving it enough love.
I mean, there's guys with bounce. Yeah, like that's...
That shit does not happen in the NBA.
I mean, what else do you want me to say?
Be like
you
me?
Want, be like Kevin Huerter, like you me? And Kev? You want me to be like you and Kev?
I was...
I mean, it's great. Okay. Like, I gave it the love it needed.
Okay.
do you want it to be like a moment of the game?
Honestly, it is one of the moments of the game.
Okay.
It's one of the moments of the game. Before we get to that, who do you think our player of the game is? I put a poll question up, and I put three up there.
Okay.
Who was your player of the game? Was it Fox? 29 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. Domantas Sabonis making history tonight with that double-double streak. 22 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. Malik Monk off the bench with 25 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Justice in the chat says, guys, you have a new legend, and his name is Domantas Sabonis. Domantas Sabonis. Who would be your player of the game tonight?
Does it have to be one of those guys?
Doesn't have to. It's your player of the game. I'd love to know yours. And
you know what?
I put up what the actual Rock and Soul player of the game is.
My player of the game is Keon Ellis because, again, stepping up in that starting role. I didn't know that they were 5-0 with him in that starting spot. But really making an impact to what this team looked like, especially on the defensive end.
Let's see here. Rock and Soul player of the game.
Oh. Thank you.
Keon Ellis, dude. 7 points, 4 assists, 3 steals. Kings are 5-0 when he starts for them. He won the defensive player of the game crown. Of course, you can mention Monk, Sabonis, and Fox. Those guys have done it all year long. But this guy, who was on a two-way deal earlier this year, spent all of last year in the G League with the Stockton Kings, is playing meaningful minutes in March for a team who's trying to secure a playoff spot. Then he gets put in the starting lineup. And what does he do? He makes shit happen. The guy has been a defensive force. He's been a dog. He plays bigger than he is. He's strong, active hands, hits threes. That stat line may not blow you away, but his impact was felt from the jump tonight. Keon effing Ellis, our Rock and Soul player of the game.
Difference maker. And make sure to check out Rockin' Soul Diner. I know a few of you went there tonight because if you go during the game to watch a game, you can get 25% off appetizers and 25% off your drinks. It is 6 blocks away from the arena, and breakfast is served all day.
All day.
So good.
You want a little Benny at 1:30 p.m.?
Biscuits and grave grave.
Some biscuits. Is there anything else we missed from this game that we failed to mention that you would love to talk about, Morgan?
Let's see.
And while you think, I'll look at my notes too.
Okay. I got assists. I got Lyles. Oh, you already have. I love it.
I know this. Dame didn't hit his first three until the 9:27 mark of the third quarter.
I love that.
The other thing that I like, the Bucks went on an 8-0 run after that.
Uh-huh.
And I was getting a little nervous. I get getting a little nervous. They handled the run better. And this is going to be something we're watching now. Every NBA team makes runs. We know this. It's a game of runs. Ebbs and flows, blah, blah, blah. This Kings team, and I don't have like the exact numbers to back it up, but I feel like I have not seen a team that is in playoff contention give up runs like this Kings team gives up runs. We're not talking a 12-2.
I wish.
We're not talking like a... Sometimes I take a 16-2. That's awful. Last game against the Rockets, it went like 45-19 at one point. We've seen them give up big runs all year long to the Bulls, the Suns, the big leads. And so tonight, I was curious. All right, you got fat here. You've had a lead. I'm talking to J-Ross and G-Man at halftime going, hey, you think this game is going to go to single digits? You know what they said?
What'd they say?
Yes. And of course you thought that,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, I thought that.
You only had a 19-point lead. The Kings handled that run. They handled that run, and they expanded the lead, winning wire to wire for this
great
group.
Great point.
Is a big deal.
No.
Because they have really failed to do that. We've seen them so many times get big leads and fold and allow teams to get back in it with bad defense, taking their foot off the gas, missed free throws, and tonight... they executed.
It's such a great point about the runs and being able to stop the bleeding. Because it never felt like I was scared because of track record. I wasn't scared. The energy wasn't scaring me. I felt like there was confident
track
energy.
Track record 100%.
But it was just, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It was just track record for me. And like, you never know what you're going to get in a second half for the Sacramento Kings. Like, how many times do we say that we need 48 straight minutes and that's all you want to see? And so finally being able to see that again against a very good team in this league, like, you got to give love when they deserve it.
Well, after the game, Mike Brown gave some love to the Rock and Soul player of the game, Keon Ellis.
Keon seems like he's always getting deflections on and off ball. How important has that been to this group? And is there anybody from years prior that he reminds you of, like playing defense?
Good question, Brendan.
That's a great question. I would have to think about that question.
Shout out to Brendan Nunes, of course, at Sacktown Sports.
He's so good.
Great. Young up-and-comer, but one of the best already.
Yeah. He just always asks great questions.
Yeah. The Keon Ellis?
What?
Keon Ellis of Kings Media.
Oh, I like it.
Anyway, back to this.
But he's got a man. He's got an uncanny ability to defend the pick and roll, to be a great weak side help defender, strong side help defender. He's really really elusive and really quick back to the ball. And what people don't realize is how long his arms are. And then he's got a motor where he just keeps pursuing, keeps pursuing, keeps pursuing, keeps pursuing. And you need to have that relentless attitude if you want to be a great defender or an elite defender. And he definitely has it. And I know there's probably somebody that out there that I've been around that's been like him. Not many guys though. Mm-hmm. But he has a chance to be a special defender. You're talking about a young man that was on a two-way last year. I don't think he got drafted. He's on a two-way last year. And, I said this before. I've been playing him, yanking him back, playing him, yanking him back, playing him, yanking him back, and he's just stayed ready, and he's been as steady as he can be. And so I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he's stepping up. I'm happy we rewarded him with a regular contract, and he's showing that he's more than worth what we gave him.
Ooh, wow. Some high praise there from Mike Brown.
It really is. And even
I don't think he's getting any DMPs anytime soon. Like, this guy has to be in the rotation and pushing 20 plus.
Because he makes a difference.
That's what
I'm
saying.
He is a difference maker. It's, yes.
There's also something to those guys that have had different journeys, right? You mentioned him being undrafted. You went to junior college first in Alabama, undrafted. G League, mm-hmm. two-way, mm-hmm. pro.
Dude, it's a different grind when you have different scouts looking at you all of your life. I'm sure he was on teams where he was doubted by coaches, so coaches were pushing the other guy that had hops and that had athleticism and could just get up and dunk when Keon was doing, like, probably a lot more of the dirty work, you know? And I say this because this just happens with – there's so many good – players and people out there that just don't get the right opportunities. And sometimes you get down when you don't ever see the right opportunity. And for Keon to just keep going, keep pushing through, get all the way to this roster, see the DMPs, and still follow through on his opportunities, show up big, never play nervous, just huge. I love it.
Also in the chat, Duck says that Mike Brown is on a streak of successful challenges. Who is this guy? Yeah, he did challenge a play at the 6:42 mark when the Kings were up 111-83. It was a loose ball foul that would have put the Kings in the penalty. The Kings won the challenge, and G-Man noted Mike Brown's record on challenges this year?
Yeah.
18-23.
Okay.
Trying to push up.
Yeah.
Which... let me just do the math here. Because didn't I tell you, like, the success rate was pretty low for challenges?
Yes. The success rate
was like 50-something percent, right?
God. I forget what it was. Was it low? I forget. So, yeah. Actually, I don't remember anything.
So, yeah, his success rate's not great. I mean, that's, well, yeah.
Got to keep working on it.
18-23. Let's get back to 500.
Get back to 500, please.
All right. We got more of the podcast coming up. We need to mention that tonight's podcast is presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you need new windows on your house, you need siding, you go to them. One, Kings fans.
Yep.
Check.
Check.
Check. They've been around forever.
Check.
Showroom and Rancho Cordova. You can check out the windows yourself. They do amazing work. They don't subcontract out. We've had them do windows here at these amazing Deucemo podcast studios.
Noise canceling.
Over at your sister's house.
Yep. Becoming a Northwest Exteriors family, loving it because they do such a great job. But also, it's like, even with my sister, I was like, just get a quote. See what you can do. Yep. And so she got a few windows done. She got a few things done, and she was super happy with it. And she's like, oh my gosh, they are the nicest. I was like, I know. That's why you just got to call and get a free quote today.
Why?
Simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Yeah, go to trustnorthwest.com. I threw you that, huh?
And I hit it.
You did all right. You did all right.
I fucking hit that so good.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Here's a tough one for you tonight.
What?
Maybe for the chat, too. What do you guys think should be the Sharif Jewelers moment of the night? The Sharif Jewelers moment of the game.
Okay. Do I get to say mine?
I would love yours. We should also note, too, that we saw that Keon Ellis got the Defensive Player of the Game crown.
Yes.
You know Sharif Jewelers made that crown that the Kings use?
I did know that. Oh, take a look at that.
Deepak crown? Crafted, customized by Sharif Jewelers, a local presence in this community forever. If you are looking for jewelry, watches, maybe you're trying to propose soon or you need stuff repaired, you need to go to Sharif Jewelers.
Or maybe you want your own crown being made.
That'd be dope.
I mean, they do everything. They do a whole bunch of custom stuff. They do so many things. Make sure to check out Sharif Jewelers. My Sharif Jewelers moment of the game, could it be the Domas slam? And even though he'd slam a jamma twice.
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
There's a G-Leaguer. There's a G-League.
People have said slam a jamma for a long time, but you're talking about the old Agua Caliente Clippers announcer who said slam a jamma.
Slam a jamma!
Well, you're thinking Sabonis jam on Lopez?
Well, he did it twice, so I'm like, which one?
All right, let's read some of the people in the chat. A couple people mentioning a JaVale McGee three. That's a pretty funny one.
Oh,
pretty funny one.
That's it.
Fox steal on Giannis in the jam. He had the steal and the breakaway dunk. That was pretty sweet.
Dude, what about the block in the beginning of the game by De'Aaron that led to the transition three for Keon? I mean, it set the tone.
Alex in the chat says, what about Andre Jackson's dunk?
I mean, you said you were going to put that.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. That the Fox block did feel like it kind of set the tone of what the night was going to be. Active defense, Keon hitting a three. Yeah.
I mean, it was like the definition, the identity of what this game was for.
I mean, that's
what
that's what opened the game.
Yep. I mean,
and we'll know. We're also going to know JaVale McGee hit a three.
There we go. There we go. Let's see.
There you go. So, well, is that fair?
Someone said lens block.
Yeah, Giannis is such a freak, by the way, and he gets every call. It's just incredible. But
I thought they were letting them be physical on him at first.
Who was it in transition who was trying to, like, I think Mike Keon Ellis was like, had his back toward Giannis in transition. Okay. I think it was him. Mm-hmm. Giannis lowers his shoulder into him. Mm-hmm. Not only did they call a foul, it was a shooting foul. I'm like, what is Keon Ellis supposed to do? There's a train coming at a high speed train.
Very high speed.
Not like a, you know, one of those trains in Sacramento. You're like, is it really going that fast? I can make it. We're talking about a bullet train.
Still shouldn't cross, just FYI. Boom. Please don't take that advice.
And what's Keon supposed to do? You call a foul.
Yeah. Look, I know you and I mentioned this in the beginning of the game. I felt like the refs went away from this. But in the beginning of the game, they were letting both teams play. And I loved it. It was so great. Like, people were getting mauled down low. And I was like, yes, do it. Like, keep up the physicality. I don't want anyone to get hurt, but I love that style of play when you can just go at one another. At times it's going to alter a move, a shot. People are going to get frustrated, but it just creates this atmosphere of something else, just a different style of basketball that I love.
James says that was Len that Giannis did too. No, I think he did it to Len too. I mean, that's what he does. I mean, he lowers his shoulder like a football player. He's just a freak. I mean, it's so tough. He had some nasty dunks, too. I thought the Kings did as good a job as you could with him dealing with him, right? Because, you know, in the pick and roll game, if you're coming up, you know, where's the help? I mean, it's really tough. You know, Len's got to try to recover at times on some of those plays. Yeah, it's a really tough matchup for Sabonis and Len. But I actually like that they put bigs on him. Like, I know in past years, I remember last year they had Harrison Barnes on Giannis. It just wasn't fair.
You know, and I was surprised at times too because I thought Bobby Portis did a good job of stopping the bleeding at times, getting little baseline jumpers, getting into the paint, getting something. And I was like, is Bobby Portis going to be the Kings killer tonight?
I thought Doc should have played him more. He came in instantly, and Sabonis was defending him.
Yep.
And
I thought that was trouble.
It was.
Because he could stretch the floor just enough where Sabonis was like, do I come out on this? Do I stay back?
And he's
like,
got the speed to get by Sabonis. And he's tough enough to take contact and finish inside. Yeah, no, that was problematic. I felt like the first time it really worked. The second time, Portis missed some shots, but he still got some good looks. I was really surprised they didn't go back to that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. On the night, by the way, talking about the free throws, Milwaukee shot 35. The Kings shot 16 in the game. Thought Mike Brown was going to bust out the laptop again.
That would have been funny.
That would have been really funny if he did that.
No, it was, yeah. The officiating went a different direction toward whatever point in that game. But like I said, I like the way it started.
Next up for the Sacramento Kings, by the way, they take on the LA Lakers at Golden 1 Center. Second night of a back-to-back. The Lakers, as of right now, are listing LeBron James as questionable for the game. You're going, oh, wait, he may not play. I mean, I guess it's possible, but I feel like LeBron James is questionable for every game for the Lakers.
I said that.
He did leave the Kings' last game, the Lakers' last game against the Kings in the third quarter. At the time, you know what I thought? He realized the game was over, and he goes, I'm good, I'm out. And that's what I thought.
You know, and in some ways I'd be like, that's messed up. But, I mean, he's at that age where it's like he's got to do what he's got to do at times. I guess, if you want to put it like that.
And looking at the Lakers' schedule, they've after losing to Sacramento, they've won two in a row. They beat the Bucks 123-122, and they beat Minnesota 120-109. Anthony Davis has also popped up on the injury report. Mm-hmm. He's probable at this point, but LeBron James is questionable.
2 days off. 2 days off for them. Back-to-back for a King.
I hate that. But this is a chance for Sacramento to sweep them this year, mm-hmm. And it's just a big game. The Lakers are behind them in the standings. A couple of things this year, the Kings have owned them. And this is another team that struggles defending guards like Fox and Monk. De'Aaron Fox has averaged 36 points a game against the Lakers in three games this year.
Jesus.
Sabonis is averaging 19 points, 17 rebounds, 8 assists on over 60% shooting against them this year. And I think why it's so problematic is AD is forced to help a lot because these guards cannot contain Fox, can't contain Monk. It allows Sabonis to feast a bit too inside. They don't really have a good help plan to help on Sabonis. Now, the other thing, I think Sabonis has played with force against AD. He's tried to be physical with him mm-hmm. inside. He did a hell of a job on the glass in that last matchup, but Fox has absolutely cooked him. The other thing is in all three matchups, the Kings have won points in the paint and second chance points in all three matchups.
Impressive.
So it's got to be the same mindset. I know it's hard, but dude, string some shit together. You're at home. You can win this game. You beat them three times. I mean, it's like we say with every Kings game. It's like, yeah, people ask me tonight, how are you feeling about tonight? What's it going to be like tonight? I'm like, I don't know. I think the Kings can beat anybody. They can lose to anybody too. We've seen it. They have lost to the worst team in the NBA at home, the Pistons, and they've almost lost twice to the Spurs. They've also beat some really good teams, OKC, Minnesota, Denver, albeit a little shorthanded, the Bucks. So anything can happen.
Anything.
I do like this matchup for the Kings. It is hard to beat a team four in a row.
Yeah, it's not only is it hard to do that, it's I agree when you look at the matchup and what the Kings have been able to do with this matchup. I mean, look at the matchup against the Pelicans. It is poor for the Kings. Yep. They do not play well against the Pelicans, their length, all these different things. But with the Lakers, it seems like at times that there's no perimeter defense where there's zero resistance when it comes to what De'Aaron Fox wants to do. So he goes, okay, I'm going to drive by you know, first guy, Austin Reeves, whoever, and then you have the second line of defense, AD come up, okay, I'm going to pitch it here. I'm going to get the spray three. The ball can move. So I just hope that you see a lot more, a lot of that, no tired legs. But again, I don't have, like, I truly, I'm not, this isn't me protecting myself or anything. I do not have expectations for tomorrow night.
I went in with no expectations. Actually, I'll tell you this. I have already told myself, this is where Deuce Mason stands.
Where does he stand?
As of tonight, even before the game. I've accepted that this team is going to be a play-in team. And if they're not, and they become a team that's in the top six, great. But now my enjoyment level goes up because it's like, this is what they are. They're a team that's been playing pretty much 500 basketball.
Sure.
The only reason they're above 500 is because they had a six-game win streak earlier this year and a four-game win streak. Other than that, they played 500 basketball. So this is where they're at. We'll see. Well, we'll see tomorrow. I can't wait, and we're going to be live for it. Before we end tonight, do you have anything else on this Kings-Lakers game or Kings-Bucks? Well, then we're going to end the night on a fun game with you in the chat. The basketball name game. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So this is how it goes, okay? We've done this a couple of times now. On Basketball Reference, there's certain players that have nicknames associated with them, okay? Tonight's category is players who played on the Kings and Bucks in their career. Now, ooh. I'm going to name a player, and I'm going to name a few of their nicknames. But one of the nicknames is fake.
Shout out NBA show on The Athletic.
Yes, The Athletic NBA show, who has variation of this game that, of course, there have been a lot of players who have played on both Bucks and the Kings. Don't look over here.
Trust me, I'm not.
We've seen DeMarcus Cousins. Mm-hmm. Remember, he played on the Bucks for a minute.
He did.
Dante DiVincenzo, who could afford to get George Hill or some of the legends.
Okay.
Oscar Robertson.
Okay.
Tiny Archibald. They played for the Bucks and the Kings. So here we go. No Jay Hurtaway. This is not who he played for. This is something different. Spencer Hawes, Jabari Parker, a lot of people mentioning former Kings and Bucks. Great knowledge, Jason Terry. Never officially played, but sure. All right, our first one tonight. How about Frank Mason III?
Oh, okay.
He played two seasons with the Kings. He played nine games with the Bucks in the 1920 season. Spent a lot of time with their G League affiliate, where he was named the G League MVP in 2020. Of course, he was a National College Player of the Year in 2017. And drafted by the Kings in the second round in 2017. So here are some nicknames.
Got it.
The Phenom.
Okay.
The Petersburg Pistol.
Okay.
And the Freemason.
I'm going to go with...
Before you answer.
Okay.
This may be hard.
Okay, Darren Brown, like, stop with that shit. Right. So I'm trying to pick which nickname is the wrong nickname. I'm going to go with, what was the middle one again? The pistol.
The Petersburg pistol.
I'm going to go with, there's something tricky here. I'm going to go with the Phenom one. What was that?
The Phenom?
The Phenom, yeah.
The Phenom.
What was it?
The Phenom, like the Undertaker, the Phenom. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You think that one's the fake one?
I think that one's the fake nickname.
People in the chat, Phenom's fake. Okay, okay.
I love
Freemason.
I didn't even say it right.
Well, let me just read an excerpt here.
Okay.
This is from a piece that was done right after he left Kansas. He says, I was a natural. So some guys who watched me on the playground outside our house started calling me the Phenom. I'm not talking about AAU coaches or scouts. I'm talking about gangsters, drug dealers, and some of the seedier dudes who hung around Pin Oaks. My family did everything they could to shield me from that element of projects. I got to admit, though, I liked the nickname. In fact, he talked about being in elementary school. When I entered the gym, someone would announce over the loudspeaker, here comes Frank the Phenom Mason. But I wanted people from outside Petersburg to know my name, too. You mentioned Petersburg. That was a fake one.
Damn it!
Yeah. The Petersburg pistol was fake. Also, there was an additional fake one in this one, the Freemason. So there were two fake. One.
That's
was
bullshit.
Correct.
That's unfair. You can't do because then I'm like bound. Well, and of course I picked the one. Whatever. Next. I don't care. Next. Whatever.
All right. The next one. How about John Brockman? He played one season with the Kings in the 2009-10 campaign after spending his college career at the University of Washington. He spent 2 years, believe it or not, with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay.
Here are the nicknames. Brock and Roll Express, the Farmer, or the Brock Ness Monster.
Oh, I think it's the Brock Ness Monster.
Is the real one?
Is the fake one? Wait, I'm sorry. We need. Are there two fakes in every single one now? Is that how you did it?
I'm gonna say this right now. There are two fake ones in this one.
They're all fake. I'm going to go with the Brock Ness Monster.
It's fake.
Yeah.
Wow. Morgan Reagan. Jerry Reynolds came up with the nickname Brock Ness Monster when he played here. I thought you absolutely knew that one. Well, that was a famous Brock Ness Monster was a famous one.
You know what's funny? It sounded so familiar that I'm like, did Deuce use this as a nickname the other day in a show or in whatever show that we did? And so then I was just thinking you're using it again, but obviously not.
I came up with Brock and Roll Express off it's the so famous ridiculous. Tag team, of course, was in WCW all over the world, the Rock and Roll Express. And I mentioned the Farmer. You know why? Because John Brockman is actually a farmer now.
Wait, but that that's not a nickname?
It's not a nickname. Oh, the nickname is the Brock Ness Monster.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Also worth noting that Deuce Mason is blocked on Twitter by John Brockman.
Why?
So during the whole
Jesus, there's a real reason.
Oh, yeah. So when the Kings were potentially moving to Seattle, he was very vocal about, hey, I can't wait for the Kings to go to Seattle. And I was like, I don't know. I went at him a couple times on Twitter because I'm like, dude, you played here. Like, you don't need to be campaigning for it, you ass.
You should have called him the Farmer.
And he blocked me.
The Farmer bitch.
He is a farmer now. Morgan used to be on 1140 when Brock Ness was playing there. No, yeah. No, oh. She was not.
Oh, it wasn't?
2009, 2010. Oh, no, Morgan was like in 2012. LA. What were you doing in 2009?
I was in LA.
LA, trying to be an entertainment reporter, huh?
2012. Well, just trying to do it all.
All right. Next one. How about Drew Gooden? Drew Gooden, for those who maybe don't remember, played one game with the Kings in the 2008-09 season. He was acquired via trade. The Kings bought him out the next game. He went to San Antonio after that. He had 12 points, 13 rebounds in his only game with the Kings before he was bought out and joining the Spurs. He also played three seasons with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here are the nicknames. I'm going to tell you only one is fake.
Okay.
Good and Plenty. Drew Gooden. Good and Plenty. Spin on the candy, you know?
Yeah.
The Big Ducktail.
Yoo-hoo.
And The Truth.
Question.
Yeah.
Should I know this one?
No.
Okay.
No, this one I didn't know. I didn't know these. Good and Plenty, The Truth, or The Big Ducktail.
I'm going to go with The Truth because that shouldn't be his nickname. Like, that would be strange if that nickname was given to multiple people.
So,
oh, come on.
The fake one is The Big Ducktail. The Big Ducktail I came up with because he had that ducktail patch on the back of his head?
No,
at one point?
I don't remember it.
I'm going to show it to you.
Please.
Drew Gooden had the ducktail patch, and there is some controversy about, and here's the ducktail patch. You remember this, guys? Yeah. The ducktail patch. So there you go.
It's called a ducktail patch?
Yeah, that's what I called it. So there's some controversy over The Truth. He claims that he was called The Truth before Paul Pierce.
No.
That's what he claims. So he says his nickname is The Truth. I don't buy it.
My nickname was The Mamba.
Like, yeah, I know.
Even
if you got it first, it's Paul Pierce's now, right?
Yeah, like you don't claim it. Like, why would you even want that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even, is it, what is it called? Patent?
It should be.
Yeah.
Even if you got it, it's not yours anymore. Sorry.
So dumb.
You're done.
So,
So you're wrong.
Did not get that right.
You're wrong. Have you gotten one right tonight? I don't think so.
No.
But Morgan, we've got some good news for you. We've got one more chance tonight for you to get it right on the basketball nickname game.
I really don't like this, like getting every single one wrong.
The next one is Desmond Mason. Another Mason.
Yeah.
Kings have had a few Masons play for them. Desmond Mason spent 3 years playing with the Milwaukee Bucks. He played 5 games with the Kings in the 2009-10 season. In fact, Paul Westphal, the late Paul Westphal, who was a coach of the team, also coached him with the Sonics, started Desmond Mason on an opening night in Sacramento that to this day, I just can't believe that Desmond Mason was a starter at the end of his career for the Sacramento Kings. Not a good team. His nicknames, D-Mace. Of course, you got to remember he won the dunk contest back in the day, too. That's what he's really known for. Mm. Had some knee injuries down the stretch, blah, 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 blah. Next. Anyway, D-Mace, the cowboy, or Dr. Dunkenstein? Which one is fake? D-Mace. D-Mace in the place. Desmond Mason, the cowboy. Giddy up. Dr. Dunkenstein.
Let's go with D-Mace.
Is it a fake one?
I don't know, asshole. Like, I don't know.
It's just a game.
It's not a game. It's very deflating when you get every single one wrong. Like, it becomes unfun.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. Your worst one tonight, out of all of them,
was Brockness Monster.
Absolutely.
But I thought you were messing with me even on that one. Okay. Like, this is so, and now every, and the first one you totally screwed up on because you gave 2 lies.
I just grew up.
It was just a mind game.
People guessing the chat that Cowboy's wrong. If you want some help, a couple people mentioning Dr. Dunkenstein.
So D-Mace is probably a nickname, everybody? Like, what? How does anyone remember nicknames?
D-Mace, Deuce Mace.
D-Mace, I mean, I remember, like, the prime ones.
Morgan, just to be clear, no one remembers these nicknames. There's no one watching or listening to this later going,
everyone
Desmond
feels
Mace.
Like they know it.
No, Morgan, I'm going to say 92% of the population.
Hector, just call me Morgan Barkley.
You have to. This is hard. No one knew Drew Gooden's nickname or Frank Mason.
I already forget it, too. Goodenson or something? What was it?
Good and Plenty. The Truth. The fake one was Big Ducktail for Ducktail Patch.
Yeah, yeah. Give her a freebie. No. I know. I don't.
So here we go. This is the final one, Morgan. Desmond Mason's nickname.
So the reason why I'm going to change it is because I feel like you're padding to like force me to change it. Be like, it's okay. You got this. So how about the cowboy? The cowboy or cowboy?
It's the cowboy. So okay. D-Mace, the cowboy, or Dr. Dunkenstein.
So I'm going to go with the cowboy. Or I just picked each one.
No, you just need to pick one.
The cowboy!
The cowboy. Well, let's go over some of these. Well, D-Mace was definitely a nickname. D-Mace was one of his nicknames. Desmond would elevate above everybody, and back in the day, Sonics announcer Kevin Calabro, who now is the voice of the Blazers, would yell, "The cowboy!" Probably because he played his college ball at Oklahoma State, the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Dr. Dunkenstein was actually someone's nickname. It was Daryl Griffith, who played with the Utah Jazz from 1980 to 1991.
So of course, it was Morgan Reagan else's nickname.
Goes 0-for-4 on the basketball nickname game. I'm good at this. So good. I'm clever, huh?
You know what? No, the thing is, you're a mind effer, and that is where... Yeah.
I'm the puppet master. Daddy Deuce is here, baby.
All creepy. All creepy. And I feel a little deflated now that I lost every single one.
Well, it's supposed to be a challenge. It's not supposed to be easy. Do you want me to be like, hey... what's LeBron's nickname? King James?
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah. It's supposed to be hard.
Brockness Monster was a layup, but I got in this, like, he is messing with me kind of thing. So
I get it, Morgan. Sometimes you blow layups. It happens. That was your worst one. That's it.
I mean, I blew 4 layups.
But those were layups.
I blew the game.
Morgan, I would not get these. If you asked me, I would not pick the cowboy for Desmond Mason. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I'm done making you feel better. You suck tonight. It's over.
Thank you.
That's a fun way to end the pod tonight. Appreciate you guys participating too in the chat. You guys have been a lot of fun. On the way out, make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. And maybe Morgan Reagan has a game for me tomorrow. Maybe we bring back an old classic.
What's the old classic?
Who he played for, where Morgan names a player and I name every single team that player played on. Or name the teams and I'll name the player. We can go either way. Remember, I'm the basketball mind.
Jesus Christ.
Appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us tonight. Make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. And we will be live again tomorrow for following Kings and Lakers. We love you guys, but we got to go.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow night. See ya!
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.